You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Wednesday, the 8th of April, 2026. I'll be joined in the next segment, actually, by Paul Danz. He is running to replace Lindsey Graham in South Carolina. And boy, does he have our endorsement. Really, almost anybody would. To be honest, you know, I would endorse a doorknob for Lindsey Graham. But luckily, we're not in that position. We actually have a very solid, good, you know, candidate who can actually win the election and is just not Lindsey Graham. But he's not just Lindsey Graham. He's not Lindsey Graham. And on his own, he's a great candidate. So very excited to talk to him and get into his view of everything going on. Of course, last night, towards the end of the show, the so-called ceasefire came in. And if you were watching, you saw my reaction. That was kind of like, I don't know. I don't think this is real. I don't think this is actually happening. And it basically didn't. It basically hasn't happened at all. And again, this was obvious from the moment that they announced it, because even in Trump's announcement about not following through with his genocidal threat to eradicate a civilization forever if they don't open the Strait of Hormuz, even in his announcement, it was like the Strait of Hormuz is still not open, and they agreed to a 10-point plan that is just everything Iran wants. And they didn't agree to the 10-point plan outright, but they agreed to it as a basis for negotiation, which means what actually happened is that Iran called Trump's bluff, and then Trump came up with an excuse to say otherwise. That's really what happened here. Again, this is not my bias speaking, okay? I could do cover this in a way that is, you know, more, you know, lopsided one way or the other. I'm just telling you the facts. The facts are that Donald Trump told Iran, I will bomb you back to the Stone Age if you don't open the Strait of Hormuz. Iran did not open the Strait of Hormuz. And then Trump said, Iran capitulated. We're not doing the attack. But they didn't capitulate. The Strait of Hormuz is, at this moment, closed. And when it does reopen, perhaps in 2 weeks, perhaps longer, they'll be charging $2 million tolls for every ship going through the Strait, something that they didn't do 30 or 40 days ago before the war started. So as far as I can tell, it's not that Iran won the war necessarily, it's that the war is not over. And the ceasefire doesn't really exist. It was just a face-saving public relations announcement by Trump that means nothing, has changed nothing on the battlefield, but did allow him to declare victory despite the fact that he did chicken out. And again, this is another thing that people are like, yo, you're just mad that Trump didn't bomb Iran. You think that I'm mad that the thing I didn't want to happen didn't happen? That doesn't make any sense. I'm glad that Iran wasn't bombed. I'm still mad at the entire situation overall. I'm still mad that we're still in war with Iran. I'm mad that Israel is bombing the hell out of Lebanon. I'm mad that Trump is governing like an insane idiot and embarrassing all of us and threatening people with destruction. It's all bad. So I could spend the whole show today just like waging, you know, proxy war on X, trying to debate the Benny Johnsons of the world who are telling us this was a fantastic victory and everybody who was upset at the Iran war is a panican who should never be trusted. I'm not going to do that, obviously. That's what X is for. But I will present some metaphors. How about I present a few metaphors? And as a father, I always find myself just thinking about my relationship with the government, kind of like my relationship with my children, since ostensibly we are in charge of our government. It is ours. And in that case, I've had people say to me, why aren't you celebrating the fact that there's a ceasefire? Okay, one, it's not really a ceasefire. It doesn't really exist. Two, let's say my five-year-old son walks into my living room dragging the garden hose and starts spraying the garden hose all over the living room. Now, at a certain point, I may be able to negotiate with him and get him to stop doing that. I don't then celebrate the fact that he stopped, right? Everything is still wet. It's still bad. This still wasn't something that he should have done. I'm happy he's not spraying the water still, but I don't then celebrate. Great job turning off that water, kid. You did it. Go get some ice cream. Like, no, it's still a problem. We still have a mess to clean up. Actually, this was literally an ex conversation I had. And I can't remember what the guy's response was, but this basically is the metaphor. It's like, oh yeah, no, the guy's like, well, but what if your living room was really dirty beforehand and he brought in the hose to clean it up? And it's like, yeah, that's a great point, man. It's like the living room was messy and now it's still messy, but also flooded. That's essentially the situation that we're in. Iran is still a threat. Iran is still there. It still has its uranium. It's still blocking the Strait of Hormuz. It still has not just everything it did have before the war started. It has more than it had before the war started. This is not a cause for celebration. Again, I'm relieved. I'm happy. I'm very, very gratified that President Trump decided not to eradicate a civilization. Thank you, glorious God of death, Donald Trump, for staying your wrath and showing mercy to us mere mortals. But it's still a bad thing. The other, a metaphor I can draw for you that shows just how absurd this argumentation that you're seeing on Twitter is. Again, I have people saying, you're just mad that Trump didn't attack. Because I was saying how bad it would be for Trump to attack. I was saying this would be horrible. This would be devastating, genocidal. And then when it didn't happen, people think I'm mad about it. Like I got my ego hurt. I'm like, dang it. I wish he did attack. Then I'd be right. I said, I didn't know if he was. Actually, I said at the beginning of the show yesterday, before anything had happened, I said, I think he's probably going to back down. I don't think he's going to actually attack. I think he's going to come up with an excuse, which is exactly what happened. So I was right after all. It's like I've been right about this the entire time. You can go back and watch the shows for yourself. It's a beautiful thing about the internet. Go watch my show from the day before we attacked Iran. I've got things right that people to this day still haven't figured out. I did it before we even launched the attack. It's fine. It's not about that. It's about the absurdity of these arguments. It's about how you have absolutely nothing to actually go on. And so you come up with these insane claims like you're just mad Trump didn't attack Iran because it proves that you were wrong. Like, again, to take my kids as a metaphor, it'd be like if I looked up one day and I see my 5-year-old son pointing a loaded handgun at my 3-year-old daughter, but there's an apple on her head. And he's like aiming to shoot the apple. And I'm like, no, no, don't do it. And then he fires and hits the apple off her head. And he's like, see, what was the what were you so worried about, you panicking? It's like, okay, that could have gone really bad. And I'm still angry. And then it'd be like coming to me, still angry. My son is firing bullets at his sister and saying to me, you're just mad that he didn't shoot his sister. You were so sure. You thought you were so smart. You thought for sure he was going to accidentally shoot his sister in the head, but he didn't, and that makes you mad. Like, okay, all right, fine. If that's what you want to believe, more power to you. Operation Epic Failure. 13,000 Iranian targets struck, 155 Iranian ships destroyed, 90% of Iran's weapon factory struck, 80% of Iran's nuclear industrial base struck, 0% of military goals achieved. Well done. Thousands killed. Zero change in geopolitics. I mean, there have been changes. It's just all negative for us. I'll lay it out for you. We'll get into all of it. Let's go back in time and begin today, as we do every day, with our daily dispatch, shall we? All right, here it is, folks, your daily dispatch for Wednesday, the 8th of April, 2026. U.S., Iran, and Israel agree to ceasefire. The United States and Iran reached an 11th-hour ceasefire deal on Tuesday evening, hours after President Trump threatened to start wiping out Iran's, quote, whole civilization if it did not allow commercial shipping to pass safely through the Strait of Hormuz. Mr. Trump announced the agreement in a post on social media hours after Pakistan, a mediator in the dispute, urged him to stand down from the 8 p.m. Eastern Time deadline he'd set for Iran to accede to his demands. Pakistan proposed that each side observe a two-week ceasefire, and during that time, Iran allow oil, gas, and other vessels to proceed unmolested through the economically vital waterway. Shortly after the ceasefire agreement, a U.S. official said American military strikes against Iran had stopped. Iran's foreign minister, Abbas Araghchi, said in a statement that the Iranians would cease their defensive operation and that for a period of 2 weeks, safe passage to the Strait of Hormuz will be possible if coordinated with Iran's military. That has all changed. This article is from about 2 hours ago, and it's entirely different now. The Strait of Hormuz is closed as a response to Israel not just continuing to bomb at Lebanon, but actually bombing Lebanon to the biggest degree that they ever have before. We'll get into all of it. And I'll read you the 10-point plan here in just a second that we apparently agreed to, but now we're saying we never agreed to it because it was always just the thing used as an excuse to say, oh, look, we're having a ceasefire. Actually, I totally didn't bluff and get called on it. They gave up. They wanted a ceasefire because they're so scared of us. Like, yeah, right. U.S. Israel insists Iran ceasefire does not apply to Lebanon, which suffers huge airstrikes. Israel has made clear it doesn't see the newly declared U.S.-Iran ceasefire as applying to its war in Lebanon, where it is still trying to destroy Hezbollah. The White House, too, has made its stance clear that it doesn't apply, but President Trump has stated his intent to take care of a Lebanon ceasefire separately. But this is the thing. It's not actually up to them. It's up to Iran. If they want the ceasefire, then they have to accede to Iran's demands. Iran is the one making demands right now because we are the ones who want something from them that they're not giving us. So if we want the Strait of Hormuz to be open, we have to stop Israel from bombing Lebanon. Again, I'll show you videos from Joe Kent, as he has issued a video following this so-called ceasefire, reiterating what he said in his resignation letter, that we have to decouple, we have to restrain Israel. Now might be the time, and it might come about as a necessity, because literally we want to stop the war. Apparently Trump wants to start the war. J.D. Vance wants to stop the war. And we can't as long as Israel is still bombing Lebanon. So we're almost being forced to have to try to restrain or use leverage against Israel in one way or another. We'll see how that goes. Mystery surrounds death of ninth scientist tied to U.S. secrets as disturbing pattern grows. This is from Daily Mail. As another scientist with ties to America's space program has now joined the growing list of deaths and disappearances around the U.S., Michael David Hicks, a research scientist at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, passed away on July 30th, 2023, at the age of 59, but the cause of death was never made public and no record of an autopsy being performed could be found. This, of course, is just the ninth in a long series of mysterious deaths and disappearances of energy, spaceflight, and national security-related scientists here in America. Finally, we have this. Forget 65. America's new retirement age is 85, or 35 if you're lucky. Now, interesting about this is that the average age of death in America is 79. So the average retirement age is now a full 6 years older than the average age of death, meaning that most people simply work until they die here in America, here in the greatest country the world has ever seen, the greatest empire, the wealthiest, most prosperous nation ever on earth in history by a factor of 10, our people are working until they die. They're working until they're 85. They work from ostensibly 18 to 85, and they never get to relax, never get to truly disconnect and enjoy your life. We actually had a pretty good setup a little while ago. Go back in time about 50, 60 years. Everything kind of made a hell of a lot of sense, right? You could get a job. You didn't even have to. Yeah, and Ben Shapiro's thrilled about this. You should never stop working. Of course, that's easy for him to say, probably him and all of his family and friends. You should be working till you're 85, he says, sitting in an air-conditioned room at a desk saying lies. When your job is to sit in front of camera and lie for Israel, it's not actually that hard for you to keep working until you're 85. Tell that to literally anybody else that has to actually work for a living. So very easy for Ben Shapiro and others like him to say. But for the average person, I think we'd prefer to go back to the way it was before, where you got out of high school, you could get a job at a factory in town, you could work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and afford two cars, your own house, your wife staying at home to raise the kids, and you retired at 65 and spent 15, 20 years just enjoying yourself. That was the life that has been stolen from us, that has been deliberately ripped away from us and replaced with just nothing but negative. It's not like, you know, we discovered a better way of doing things, and so we chose to do things differently. We were forced by necessity into a much less meaningful or fulfilling or appropriate way of living. And of course, we could all probably retire at 30 if we stopped giving money to everybody who hates us. We stopped letting ourselves be robbed to the nth degree by a bunch of government programs to simply redistribute our wealth to genocidal maniacs in the Middle East or newly arrived con men from Somalia here in America. If we could manage to actually benefit from our incredible prosperity, we wouldn't have to look with envy at the incredible architectural creations in China or Abu Dhabi. We could have them here. We wouldn't have to, you know, wonder if it's safe sending our kids to elementary school. We wouldn't have to, you know, avoid certain parts of town because the police don't go there. We could have everything. We could be living in paradise, but we've allowed ourselves to be taken over by a bunch of rapacious parasites who would rather drink our blood. Now, let's get into what exactly happened with Iran yesterday. Again, I think looking at this just with a bird's eye view and in an unbiased sort of way, kind of obvious from the beginning, but now, 24 hours later, we can look back and say with certainty that, yeah, basically, and we'll go through this because I'm going to be joined by Paul Danz in the next segment. I think I'm going to have Lebanon John call in, talk about what's going on in Lebanon in the second hour. We'll spend 30 minutes or so with him. And then I want to get into the timeline of the Iran war, just going back to the week before February 28th, the buildup, and how this is unfolded. And one of the patterns that you see emerge is that clearly Iran and America try to do, or I'm sorry, Israel and America try to do something, you know, spectacular. Then it fails. Then Donald Trump comes out with an ultimatum and says, you have 48 hours or we're going to kill everybody. And then those 48 hours go by and Donald Trump comes out and says, it's fine. I don't need to do my threat. I don't need to go through with it because we totally have a ceasefire and an agreement. And then Iran comes out and says, we do not have a ceasefire or an agreement. And then we just go back into this cycle. And then they come up with a new thing. So it's like they tried to get the Kurds involved. Kurds not involved. Oh, ultimatum. We'll destroy all your electricity if you don't do something right now. And then 48 hours later, it kind of falls to the side. I think this is what we've been witnessing ever since last Friday. I don't think there was ever a lost pilot. I think we tried in sort of a last-ditch effort. Because all Trump is looking for and all he's been looking for since about 48 hours after this war started, the entire everything Trump has been doing and everything America's been doing has been focused on getting a win, just getting one win. If we could just get the uranium, then we could declare victory. If we could just find somebody in the Iranian leadership that we could claim, oh, he's the friendly guy that we put in charge now. So we did it. We regime change. A good regime's in place now. We'll back off. Like they just want something that they can hold up as a trophy to say, see, this is what it was all about. And now we're done. That last Friday was the uranium in the Isfahan nuclear plant. I think that the C-130s and the fighter jets and the Black Hawk helicopters, I think that was an attempt to extract the uranium. That was their big, like, dramatic thing that they, if that had succeeded, then the war would probably be over right now. They'd be able to say, we did it. We got the uranium. That was the victory condition. We've won. Now we can back off. It didn't work, obviously. It did not succeed. So they came up with a story about a, you know, lost pilot and told everybody it was an amazing, you know, Hollywood-esque rescue mission. And then immediately after that, he issues the 48-hour ultimatum, just like he did the other times that their grand, dramatic, you know, frantic attempt to rescue this disaster fails. Then he issues an ultimatum, and it sort of resets the news cycle. I mean, he has done this over and over again. And if you can't see the pattern, then you're just not looking for it. I'll get more into that full breakdown later. I want to go to clip number 11 now. This is Joe Kent, who released a video following the ceasefire deal about what has to come next, what the next step for America is if we want lasting peace in the region. Let's watch.
Great news this evening that there's been a two-week ceasefire agreed upon tentatively between us and the Iranians. It's unconfirmed yet if the Iranians have accepted this deal as well, but I hope that they have. It's absolutely essential that we ensure that the Israelis do not sabotage this two-week ceasefire or eventually the lasting peace that we're trying to achieve with the Iranians. We're on the cusp of being able to have the Strait of Hormuz reopened to hopefully start to get the world energy supply and commerce back online. The last thing we need is the Israelis doing what they have done in past negotiations and targeting the negotiators or taking a series of strikes that escalates the conflict. In order to ensure that we can restrain the Israelis, we actually have to start removing features of the military support that we give to them. We have to take away enough from them that they simply cannot go on the offense, that they're using all their military capabilities that we provide for them and that they have organically for the defense of their country and not for offensive operations inside of Iran. It's absolutely critical that we take this step and don't just take Israel's word for it, that they agree to this ceasefire simply because they have a very bad track record of adhering to these deals. We also have to keep in mind that Israel has a different strategic outcome than we do. Us working towards any kind of a deal with the Iranian government works against the Israeli strategic objectives of toppling this government completely and totally. We have to recognize that in order to properly address Israel, because Israel could spoil any peace that President Trump is working to achieve. So we have to keep that in mind. It's very good news we took this ceasefire. We have to understand that there is no military solution to the conflict right now. Basically, every action militarily that we've taken has only strengthened the regime, and it's done a lot to destabilize the entire region and to take away the security and safety of the free commerce of all of the energy and oil and natural gas that flows out of the region through the Strait of Hormuz. So we have to keep our main objective in mind. It's getting that lasting peace, and we will be the more powerful nation for providing that lasting peace and stability. We will not gain a more powerful position by continuing to escalate the conflict or continuing to strike Iran. In order for us to achieve this goal that we have of bringing about a lasting peace, keeping the Strait of Hormuz open, we have to restrain the Israelis. We have to keep that in mind. So I continue to pray for peace, pray for President Trump, pray for him to have clarity, pray for successful peace negotiations, pray for our men and women downrange in harm's way. Thank you. God bless.
So there's Joe Kent again laying out there is no military solution to this intractable problem. J.D. Vance has issued a statement on this. We'll go to that in the next hour. But Paul Danz joins me in about 4 minutes after this commercial break. Share this link. You're not going to want to miss this. This is the man who will defeat Lindsey Graham. Stay with us. Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies, the delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact? Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.